I think there's an opportunity for meetings, for meeting owners, for meeting professionals to look outside the ballroom. We have we've often talked about virtual meetings as sort of the enemy. I actually think this is an extraordinary opportunity for those of us that take it.
Hi, I'm Dave Tabor, and this is the ProCo 360 podcast with stories and lessons from Colorado's world-class entrepreneurs. ProCo 360 is for fans of Colorado, our businesses, and their leaders. Listeners, thanks to you, ProCo 360 is Westward Reader's best Denver podcast, 3 years running and 2 years as a top 15 Colorado podcast on FeedSpot. In this episode, I'll be speaking with Allison Kinsley, founder and chief meeting architect of Kinsley Meetings, joined by Megan Myers, senior meeting architect. Hey, during these crazy times we call a pandemic, live corporate meetings, conferences, and events haven't just been changed. They've been stopped. They've gone online. They've gone hybrid. Mike Tyson famously said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. And that seems to be what's happening to meeting planners. But wait, they're getting up. Meeting planners are planning events again, just differently. I want to know what's going back to the way it was. What's better now? Are there already best practices going forward? We'll talk about what all that means for meeting planners and for business in this special episode of ProCo 360. Allison, Megan, glad you could join me as guests on ProCo 360.
Thank you very much.
We're looking forward to it. Thank you.
So let's start, Allison, with an overview, quick overview of Kinsley Meetings.
Yeah, we are meeting architects, and what that means is taking the traditional meeting planning agency and really being a little bit more thoughtful about what goes into a in-person, face-to-face event. As you said, these days, that is changing a little bit, but that is the premise of our organization. We plan events for anything from 25 to 10,000 people. And they're corporate, they're association, they're fundraisers, they're a little bit all over the live event map.
Got it. Well, let's ground our conversation going forward in outcomes rather than sort of the tactics of organizing a gathering. How do you think about outcomes? And you talk on your website, and you've spoken with me about the why of meetings rather than the tactics. So how do you think about that?
Well, I think that the bringing people together, if you just bring them together without a purpose, it can be a party. If you're really going to plan an event that is impactful to not only the organizing group, but to the people that are attending the meeting, that are taking the time, give them a reason why they're there. Why are they taking time away from their family? Why are they taking away from their core business to be in a group with other people.
So, Megan, you're the senior meeting architect. How do you approach sort of incorporating desired outcomes into how you plan a meeting?
There starts with conversations with our client. We go to them as the meeting experts, but recognize that they are their own business experts. So we sit down, we have conversations. What are they looking to accomplish? What are their goals? How can those be measured? And who is their audience? I think a lot of times organizations really forget to pay attention to who their audiences really are. And when we can drill that down, that really helps direct the kinds of things they're going to offer, from education to networking to what's new in their industry. So we really try to start at the top, and it's really always about the why, not the how. We can plan meetings 100 different ways, but it's why are we doing them?
Yeah, and you've described your services as designing, building, and executing a foundation for content. So I'd never thought about a meeting as a foundation for content. That's different from like just putting on a meeting, right?
Absolutely. Really, meetings are a key communications tool for any organization. And, you know, they sound entertaining. They sound fun. They sound interactive and an opportunity to spend time with people that you don't get to see all the time. But ultimately, they are about communications, and whether that's very organized content or the sort of networking that takes place over coffee or over a cocktail, which is the more authentic communication.
Sure it is.
You know, that's where what
alcohol
it's about.
Breeds authenticity, doesn't it? So you know, let's just by contrast, if you could think of an example, a specific example, maybe of a meeting that had been set up without a why, and then it became created with a why, paint the picture of what it would have looked like and what it did become.
Sure. We have a client we worked with for many years, and we came in as a partner with them when they had a long-standing annual event that had been taking place for roughly, not joking, about 80 years, an association. And so when we got involved, they were really looking to kind of redirect what it was all about and what they were trying to accomplish. Their membership had changed and expanded. So we helped them take something that had really become pretty stale and very formulaic, and really was the same people were coming all the time, despite having an expanding membership and having grown nationally and internationally. So we really helped them figure out, again, back to what we talked about earlier, who their audience is and what it is they were really trying to deliver. And so
what was different? Like, what happened that's different, that was different at this program than it happened before?
Absolutely. So the event had, for all those 80-some years, been in one spot, once a year, annual event, and you all came to wherever it was, and that was it. We helped them recognize that being in a different place multiple times throughout the year, taking it on the road, if you will. They made it a smaller regional event. They went to multiple locations. This is an educational group, so rather than meeting in hotels, they met in schools, and their members hosted them, and they were having a much more authentic experience and really able to both meet the needs of those who were hosting and getting to showcase what they're about and also presenting what it is they're all about in an environment that just made a lot more sense.
Let's face it. I mean, COVID has changed the world, and it's really changed your world. You know, my first question at a high level, what are you seeing?
Well, nobody wants to travel. Nobody wants to get on a plane. Nobody wants to stay in a hotel. I think we've just taken the definition of your traditional meeting and shut it down. And that is ultimately what it's done. Taken the traditional meeting and made it go away for an undetermined time.
Yeah. I love your candor. Thank you.
And I think in addition to the travel issue, 6 months in, I think we're actually seeing that people are probably more willing to do some of that now, but we are dealing with regional and local restrictions that are making it impossible.
Yeah.
So even if 1,000 people want to come to an event, if the city that they want to come to can only host 100, that's what we're running into.
Well, we're going to come in a moment to how you're adapting the business of making meetings. In the meantime, I'm kind of curious, like, how is your business adapting? And like, does financial success look anything like what it used to 6 months ago for you?
Well, the good news is when we talk about ourselves as meeting architects and, you know, providing that foundation for content to be delivered, we are not defining ourselves as logisticians. There are a lot of people in our space who did and are no longer because it's just an untenable model. However, we've taken what we know to do and transitioned it. So if we're not meeting in hotels anymore, we are working with audiovisual companies and speakers and MCs and taking that knowledge and that model and those vendors and transitioning into a digital format.
Yeah. Can you make money in the meeting business now? I mean, isn't the old school model a percentage of the total billing that happens at a hotel and all the food and beverage? And all? There is no hotel. There is no food and beverage. How do you make any money now?
Well, we're lucky. We set ourselves up with a model of a meeting management fee. So we have been able to maintain that as strategic advisors to a meeting
That's
going on.
That's pretty interesting. You know, you think about or I'm thinking about practice areas, professional services companies like money managers or like headhunters. And the more established, the more respected ones can command a fee. They aren't contingency based. And it sounds like kind of that's where you positioned yourselves.
That's where we went from when we started the company.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that really does help you adapt without losing your ability to stay in business. That's cool.
Yeah, we can be consultants, which is what we ostensibly are. And we just, we've changed the format a little bit, but we're still providing the expertise.
That's amazing. And Megan, the term earlier was used about, people go to meetings in part to have fun. And I think when companies hire meeting planning firms, they do expect it to be fun. And is it fun right now in the midst of all this craziness?
Fun as a planner or fun as an attendee? It's fun in that it's new and it's different and it's challenging. And some days it's just absolutely mind-boggling. But there is so much out there to take place in this environment that is different and upside down and backwards and inside out. And to what Allison said, a lot of it is with partners we already have, our AV companies and our speakers and our presenters and our MCs, and just learning how to do the business differently.
Is there some fun, some stimulation in like trying to adapt these relationships into what's next and what's new?
Yes. Fun?
Fun might not be there.
It's hard for me to say fun, but I guess for those who, maybe aren't in the nitty gritty of it, it is fun because it's different. So if I was going to attend a conference now, I think it'd be fun because it's different and it's new and it's not the same thing I've done for the last 10 years, even if it's the same organization, the same people. So there's definitely some pros to this new environment.
Well, everybody knows now that everything's changed with meetings. And of course, there's one video provider whose name has become a verb now. And I'm not mentioning them because I'm bitter. I don't own their stock. So, but clearly this jump to video is a big thing. And what works about it? What doesn't work about it? What's your take?
Definitely pros and cons. What works is you don't have to leave your desk. It's pretty ubiquitous at this point. Everybody has a laptop and everybody has a built-in microphone and camera. The vast majority of people do. So the ability to participate in an online environment is pretty seamless for people. And there are a lot of benefits. If you're looking purely for education and content, it's there and it can be delivered fairly seamlessly. There's a lot that goes into it on the back end, but as a recipient of it, content, absolutely.
It seems that as a meeting planner, when you brought people together and there was someone on stage, people might be messing around with their phones or something else, but you basically had command of their attention, and so you could deliver an outcome to customers. With these video services, like, how do you address that with your clients who say, "We want people to pay attention"? What do you do?
So that consulting thing really comes in here because what we know about adult learning has to really come to the fore here. You cannot put the same thing that you would put on stage on a digital call and expect people to stay with you. Messaging has to be tighter. It needs to be paced differently, and it needs to be more engaging.
A lot more work. A lot more work from the presenters.
Exactly. The sage from the stage model is less well received online.
I mean, I hear these companies that do these fireside chats and they're just interviewing people and they're so easy to put together, but oh my gosh, they're marginally interesting live.
Exactly. And that's where if you've got to make it snappy, you've got to grab people's attention. Mm. And some of the things that we've seen are different formats where you'll have one topic addressed for 15 minutes, but you'll have five different people take 3 minutes,
wow,
3 minute swings at it, just to keep different faces on the screen and the energy moving.
Yeah. Are you seeing a trend towards, I mean, we saw these in the national conventions, towards adding multimedia and other kinds of showmanship kinds of attributes to the kinds of content you're delivering?
If you're trying to do things with a remote audience, one of the conversations that we've been having over and over is that it has to be produced a lot more like a television show than an in-person, than the experience you'd have in person.
That's one of my pet peeves, is I see people have, I think, because it's so easy to do video calls and things like that, they're taking them so casually. They dress casually. Their lighting is terrible. Their sound is terrible. Yeah, you're cringing. I cringe. And it just seems that they're missing the boat on this kind of stuff.
What we're learning here as we are in the process just ourselves of producing a couple of large, fully online conferences coming up in the next couple of months is that production value and the need to really be working with your subject matter experts. Because in this environment, typically you have subject matter experts that are presenting material, not professional speakers. Mm-hmm. So they struggle in an online environment more so than they would even just in a live environment. So providing a lot of resources, trainings, in some situations, sending them the kits that they need for the lighting and the microphone and that sort of thing. And really, you cannot rehearse enough. Rehearse.
You know, I don't think people are used to doing that to the extent that's necessary. Yeah, I just finished listening to Michelle Obama's book, Becoming, and she talked about how much rehearsal went into every speech. It's pretty interesting. And those were live. So this is even harder.
Yeah.
Listeners, as a reminder, this is ProCo 360. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. This is the podcast featuring world-class entrepreneurs who choose Colorado. I'm speaking with Alison Kinsley and Megan Myers of Kinsley Meetings. And we've already sort of started to transition into this next topic, which I've got under the category of best practices now. Are there best practices yet at all now, or are they still evolving for this world?
I think some of the best practices that we're seeing raise their heads are that it's not enough to put together a hodgepodge about a bit of information about a certain topic and call it a conference. Really, to put together something that is going to stand up online, but also when people get back into in person, is you've got to have curated content. Content is available everywhere these days. It's available online. It's available on books, TV, whatever it is. And a lot of it's free.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you justify bringing people together and charging them money for things that they could get for free? It's all about the curation, how you are putting together the information, connecting the dots for the audience.
Yeah.
And around that, building this community that is the people that come together around the same topic.
So I think what you just mentioned is maybe what is the most challenging for me to get my head around, which is around building community when people aren't together. You're nodding. I mean, what goes through your mind? How do you approach, like, if people are showing up and there are 100, Brady Bunch, squares, are they really connecting?
No is the easy answer. And that's something that we are really trying to work ourselves and with our clients on. It is different now. You can't say, we have a networking reception that 300 people come to, so let's just open Zoom and 300 people can be in there. You can't network because ultimately you're having one conversation, even if there are 300 people there. So what we're finding is really the connection in the community is happening really more in that curated content piece where you have a little bit more control and opportunity to invite people to engage. Is it polls? Is it chat? Is it Q&A? It's moderated. You have somebody that can help manage the conversation. And I think that's where people are connecting. As we were saying, if you've sat in an online conference for 2, 3, 4 hours, anyone that's trying to do them for 7 or 8 hours is absolutely insane. By the time the cocktail hour rolls around, I might just want to go down and have a cocktail in my kitchen with my husband, who I haven't seen for 12 hours versus yeah. try to make it work, you know, in front of my computer screen. So the connectivity, I think, is happening in the within the content, within those sessions. But there are also some fun ways to get people connected. And it is more the one-on-one, creating those opportunities through chat rooms, through the platform you're using. And a lot of it is platform dependent. It mm-hmm. really is. So,
which makes it really tough because people switch platforms willy-nilly and
yeah.
and then users don't quite know how to do things. And yeah, that would be a challenge.
Yeah, I think in the conference environment, and this is where I think we all have to find ourselves, we sit around and have internal Zoom meetings and Teams meetings and, you know, XYZ platform meetings. But when you're talking about an online event, it's a much more structured environment. Often it's not 100 faces in the Zoom mm-hmm. windows or the Brady Bunch windows. It is one-way viewing, mm-hmm. which is safer
yeah,
in a lot
sure.
of ways on
yes,
every
I've
level.
Yes, I've heard some terrible stories, yes.
But then through those other mediums, you're able to get people connecting and engaging. Yeah. So it's just, it requires a lot of logistics.
Yeah. Now I'm hearing a fair amount of conversation around something called hybrid meetings, some kind of a combination of live and online. What does that look like? Are they working? Are they here to stay, or are they just temporary as we go through this?
Dave, this is an excellent question. And I think we're talking about the future of our industry when you bring that up. The hybrid, or as we're talking about them as multi-channel meetings, is having more than one audience. You have the audience in the room, you have a remote audience. There's an anecdote out there about NFL owners and how once upon a time they were resistant to televising the games.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know how they'd sell their tickets. How would they fill their stadiums? And we all know that that's absolutely laughable. You laughed, I laughed, mm-hmm. Because it's now a multi-billion-dollar little thing. Hmm. I think there's an opportunity for meetings, for meeting owners, for meeting professionals to look outside the ballroom.
Yeah.
We have we've often talked about virtual meetings as sort of the enemy.
Yeah.
So anything that isn't in person is, you know, anything that isn't in-house is outhouse sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is not what we want to do, is not how we want to communicate. What this is doing with the adoption of online, doing these things online, is opening the door.
Well, sort of
to,
forcing the door open, isn't
well,
it?
Absolutely. Opening the door to the power of what that remote audience might look like.
Yeah. You know, I think is I think about all different industries that have resisted change. Mm. Whatever it is, or businesses within industries, you can go back to all the way to Kodak not wanting to get into digital because they didn't want to ruin their film sales, right? I mean, that goes way back, but you see it in every industry all the time. And it seems like the ones who lose are the ones who don't embrace what's next.
Right. There's the quote about, it's not what you learn, but what you can learn, unlearn, and relearn as keeping you relevant
yeah.
as an organization.
Yeah. I say everybody on this show who's, because it's focused on Colorado companies. I mean, that's the theme of Proco 360, world-class entrepreneurs and choose Colorado. Kinsley Meetings is a Colorado company. Does that play a role in sort of how you do things and how you operate?
Yes, it is an entrepreneurial, it's an entrepreneur-friendly area. But on top of that, just purely logistically, it's nice to be in the middle of the country, be able to get to both coasts and have a wonderful airport to get us around the world. So from a travel perspective, Denver and Colorado is perfect for
yeah.
us.
Megan, as you look at what's coming next, I mean, do you think client expectations have changed permanently with regard to live programming? I mean, do you think people are craving coming back together? And if so, is that entirely true?
I absolutely believe people are craving coming back together. I mean, I know within our industry, the conversations we are part of, people are just desperate to get off their computers and off the cameras and put on real clothes and go drink real drinks and be with real people. That, you know, we've talked about community throughout this conversation, and there, you cannot replicate it online. You just can't.
Yeah.
I mean, you can sit on a call all day long, but you don't leave that call. Even with, I mean, I talk to my best friends this way now, and it's great. But if I could go sit down and have coffee with them, the feeling I would have at the end is so different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that innate human need to physically connect with others, our industry will never go away for that reason.
And Allison, in wrapping up, it seems like the real future is figuring out how to do what you used to do really well and figuring out how you used to do what you did really well in a new way and somehow combining those.
Yeah, I actually think this is an extraordinary opportunity for those of us that take it.
Yeah.
Those of us that just go back to planning the same old meetings are going to have the same old meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I think those of us that take what we've learned about remote audiences and produced experiences and that where that can marry with the person, the in-person stuff, and anybody who can pull those things together is going to have a more impactful event. Bigger audience, certainly.
Yeah.
But a far more impactful event than the single channel thing that we've been doing.
Yeah. I think that's a good note to wrap up on. I'm your host, Dave Taber. And today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with Kinsley Meetings. Thanks, Allison Kinsley and Megan Myers. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Listeners, thanks for joining me on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast and submitting a review. That's the show, Live, Work, Love Colorado.